We could all stand to our feet as we open the service. It is wonderful to see all of you here. Let's just lift our voices to the Lord, and let's just make this building shake today. Amen? Amen.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we lift you up. Sing it out, every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord,
every praise
is to our God,
we sing hallelujah.
Come on, let's just go ahead and lift that up right now. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so great in this house, isn't he?
Amen.
Going to go ahead and move forward and
prayer at this time. I don't have anything up here. There are several things that need to be prayed about at this time, though. One is the Arderi family with Sister Bonnie going on right now. You know the situation, as Pastor has told you. Keep that up in prayer. Amen. Let God do his work. Another thing, my family. Right now, there's a lot going on right now. I'm not going to indulge in all that. My grandmother is not in a good place. The prognosis is not good. But at the same exact time, God knows what needs to be done. Truth be told, I don't know how much longer she has, but I know that God knows how much she has. So I got to keep that up. If you all would come forward, I feel strongly led to do this right now. If you're able to, please come up. The walls of Jericho were so thick that they were able to have horse races on the top of the walls. Right now, if you are able, if you are willing, I want us to cry unto God. I want us to be able to shake this building. The people in arenas, they can shake the building as they're calling unto their teams. The people in stadiums, they have the power to create earthquakes. Right now, I want us to create an earthquake in this building. Right now, I want us to be able to shake this area. I want us to break the strongholds that are in this area. I want us to go ahead and cry unto God like we've never done before. Let's just go ahead and do that right now. Lord Jesus, God Almighty, we thank you for what you're doing in this house right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to come unto you right now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the breath in our hearts, in our lungs, Lord Jesus. We thank you for our hearts, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that our hearts beat unto you right now, Lord Jesus, God Almighty. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done for us right now, for the blessings you've given unto us right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Cry unto him right now. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour of first chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing. My chains are gone. I've been set free. has promised. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my home secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Oh, yes, Jesus, my chains are. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns unending. Soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever.
We clap our hands to the Lord this afternoon. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you have ransomed me and saved me, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You are great and mighty, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, amen. You can return to your seats this afternoon. Our ushers can make their way up as we receive today's tithes and offerings. And today is Mission Sunday. It's not just any other Sunday that we give, but today we have a dedicated plate that goes towards missionaries across the field, places that we can't or maybe not be able to go ourselves. God has given missionaries to this world to spread the gospel and ultimately spread the mission, the great mission. So we have that plate over here with Ymir and, of course, our general tithes and offerings here in the front. And Sister Angel in the back with the iPad for electronic giving. But let's pray and ask God's blessing over these tithes and offerings, and that every dollar that is given, it can reach more people every day. Amen. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to give back into your storehouse, Lord. God, to give back, Lord, a small portion of what you have blessed us with, Lord, knowing, God, that we can never give an amount, Lord, that can ever repay, Lord, what you have given us, God. Lord, we ask, Lord, with trust and faith, Lord, God, that you will receive these tithes and offerings, Lord, and you will spread it across every mission field, Lord, across the world, God, farther than we could even imagine, Lord, God, so more people each and every day, Lord, can meet you face to face, Lord.
God, that when the dollar is given, Lord, to the missions field, Lord, it can be multiplied so they can have cars to go further, Jesus. And God, we pray that every dollar that is given in our general tithes and offerings here for this local assembly, God, it is multiplied and it blesses the church more than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can now march at this time.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Oh, we sing,
oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And there is power. The Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
There is power,
wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power.
Come on, let's lift our hands and give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time. Would you close your eyes and do it as unto the Lord this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise this morning. We magnify your wonderful name, gracious Father. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Amen. Amen. I want to share one scripture with you, but while I'm looking, the Sunday school class can be dismissed. Good to see all of you this afternoon. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you. I asked Pastor Klein what he was going to preach, in part because I didn't want to be really far off, and I want to just read a scripture to you, and it probably has nothing to do with this message. Oh, can you turn her down just a bit on the keyboard, just for a moment? The scripture is it's a very personal scripture to me, and I read it here about a week and a half ago, and I just could not even stop thinking about it. It's in Psalms 55 and 12, and it says David, he is speaking, and you got to kind of read the entirety of the text if you're looking for it. Psalms 55, 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man of mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. The next verse I'll read is in verse 19. It says, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn with swords. It's widely believed one of two things, that David is just generally speaking, or he's speaking of Ahithophel, who betrayed him. The reason I read that to you is David, he's obviously in a very distressed state, and he's troubled. Brother Pazzi told my wife and I years ago, he said, people do not allow pastors and their families to be human. And they don't. So when I read this, my heart, I want to weep with David, I'll be completely honest with you, because I feel his pain. And David, he says, it's not enemies, and it's not, you know, he says, it's you, my brother. He said, we went to the house of God together. In the second text, it becomes clear why this person is the way they are, because there's no repentance in their heart. And so when people are not truly repentant, and I'm not pointing to you this morning, so don't get nervous. When they're not truly repentant, you become somebody you really never thought you'd be. What we're doing here, what Pastor and Sister Klein are doing, what we're doing at all of our campuses, is we're trying to expand the kingdom. What every pastor across the globe is doing today is everything we know how to try and expand the kingdom. The block party you had, the time that's given, all these things are to expand the kingdom. From time to time, when I feel led, I'm going to say this. As they work hard to try to expand the kingdom, don't be their enemy. Be their friend. Don't gripe about trifle things that really don't even matter. Don't complain because your feelings got hurt or things didn't go your way. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. People that become very narrow-sighted, narrow-minded, aren't kingdom-minded. They're me-minded. And the Bible says in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves. So again, there's no accusation here. I don't feel this. But what I want to encourage you to do is make sure you always, always rise to the occasion of protecting the pastor and his wife. Not because they're perfect, not because they're flawless, not because they're gods, but because they're chosen for a task. And I can tell you it's a whole lot easier when people are with you and they're not against you. And so I encourage you, every step of this journey, hold their hands high. Love them. Honor them. He won't say this, but I'll say it. In 2 months, it's going to be Pastor Appreciation Month. Make sure you do something to recognize them and appreciate them. Not because they deserve anything more than anybody else, but because it encourages you to keep pushing on when people show their love and their appreciation. And we are fighting the battle of the last days. We are. We don't realize how close we are. And we're in a war. And when you're in war, you want to make sure all the other soldiers in your company are fighting with you. Would you fight with them? Fight by their side, hold their hand up high. We believe in them enough to put them here. I know you do too. Continue to believe, continue to fight. And together, let's have a massive impact on the kingdom of God and win people for the Lord. Amen? Pastor Klein's going to come and preach. We love you and appreciate you both very much.
Amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You can be seated this afternoon. Pastor Arderi, I want to thank you for those words. I really do appreciate those probably much more than you understand. The scripture talks specifically about those that are worthy of double honor. Now, in our society that we live in now, honor is, if it's not a dead ideal, it's a dying one very quickly. People honestly believe. I'm not saying that they honestly believe in their spirit that everybody is just the same. That's not scriptural at all. There are those among us that are worthy of double honor, and I'm not telling you to give me any honor at all. Pastor Arderi and Sister Arderi are worthy of double honor. I told them in prayer this afternoon, an old preacher told me a long time ago that as the trees of the Lord that we spoke about last week, the fruit that grows on those trees is not for the tree itself. It's for others. And if you only understood how many times preachers, your favorite preachers, your favorite pastors, stand in this sacred desk and pour out of their spirit and they're not receiving anything. They're praying and preaching faith, and they're preaching encouragement, and they're preaching lifting up and being on fire for God, when spiritually inside they're in the struggle of their life. And we have no idea. We leave church because it went 5 minutes too long, or it didn't go 5 minutes long enough, or it's too cold in the sanctuary, or it's too hot, or why can't we have prayer on this day or at this time? And we wonder why we walk around in the same spiritual battles when easily we need to give double honor. So I want to say publicly how much my wife and I appreciate Pastor and Sister Arderi and this opportunity that we've been given that we probably aren't qualified for. But I'm thankful for it. And I hope that you are too. I also want to extend these thank yous. Anybody that was here Friday evening for our block party, thank you so much. I was so encouraged. When you go into these types of events and you do outreach, and it's outreach where there's no RSVP, you don't know how many people are coming. You come into it kind of nervous. You're not supposed to be nervous. Well, I'm nervous. I was so nervous, I kind of told my wife, I was like, take charge. I'm going to go stand out in the front and make sure people know where to park. And as I saw more and more people coming, I was overwhelmed by the number of people that were on this campus Friday night.
and the response that they got, people just coming up to me. And it wasn't just children. My wife and I decided to do outreach where we went and met people face to face and talked to them and shook hands with them and passed out flyers. And I had a car. It made me laugh because we went one, it was last Sunday. We decided we had a few more flyers to hand out. We didn't know where else to go. So we went to the car show at Lakeshore Park at about 5:30. And it's all guys just like Brother Dan Wolfgang. As a matter of fact, some of them knew him. And we're walking through there with blow pops to these gentlemen that are retired and working. And we're like, would you like a free lollipop? And we got to talk to a bunch of people. Now, to be honest, I didn't think any of them were going to come. Friday night, I'm standing right out here in what's normally our exit, and a Cadillac pulled up, a red Cadillac, and had three guys that had to be in their 70s with beards. And I said, can I help you? And they said, we're here for the block party. I said, all right. I told them how to get down to Washington and Porn. So everybody that had anything to do with this, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. This is all about introducing people to Jesus. And if we have to use a blow-up bouncy house and we have to use a water slide and we have to use filling kids with candy, whatever it is that we've got to do, the methods will change, but the message never will, that Jesus Christ loves them. So thank you for that. I want to mention this again for my wife. Saturday, August the 16th, the ladies are meeting at Becker's. I don't know if it's breakfast, brunch, whatever it is that you guys are meeting for, to have a ladies meeting. So if you have any more questions about that, if you are a lady that calls this Ashtabula Church home, you are invited. Speak with my wife and get those plans made with her accordingly. And this I get to announce for the first time. We finalized some details. We will have a Section 1 Children's Ministry rally here on Saturday, October the 18th from 11 to 1. The Section 1 Children's Ministry Director has reached out to me. We have a guest speaker coming, Brother Ethan Clark, that deals specifically with ministering to children. So all of the children from Section 1 are going to be invited. All of the children from Ashtabula are going to be invited. I hope we have 200 kids under the age of 8 in this place, acting like kids under the age of 8, because God fills them with the Holy Ghost just like he fills all of us. Having said all that, after service this afternoon, we have a baptism. We are going to put Brother Greg down in the name of Jesus Christ. He's made a good start for the Lord. The Lord has been all over him. He's been at the altar praying. He told me when Bishop Ed Nichols was here, something happened to him. And I believe God has started a work in his life, and we're going to baptize him in Jesus' name after service. What I want to do right now, and I've asked Brother Carl to do this, you all have to listen. The hardest job in the church is the sound guy's job when he has a preacher that isn't very cooperative. And Brother Carl's new to the sound booth, and he's doing a great job. And about 2 minutes before service, I said, hey, are you able to do this? And he was like, well, we're going to find out. So what we're going to do for the next 5 minutes, I've asked him to play a song over the intercom. You're probably not going to like the song. The song means the world to me. I'm old school. It's an old gospel song. It's written by the Crab family. I don't know if any of you know them. It's not Jason, it's the dad. It might be Jason's version singing. I think he's singing with Rascal Flatts. But it's just a song called He Chose to Be My Friend. I'm going to talk to you about friendship a little bit this afternoon, but for about 5 minutes, I want us to take some time and fellowship one with another. We are strengthened by the coming in of the brethren, and there's nothing more powerful you can do in church than to become someone's friend. So as Brother Carl plays this song, I want you to take a few minutes and fellowship one with another, walk across the aisle, hug somebody's neck, and just enjoy the presence of the Lord here on Friendship Sunday. All right, we're going to get started. Thank you all for being here. I do want to let everybody know that when you walked through the fellowship hall, you probably kind of looked and saw it this afternoon. We were calling it Friends and Family Day. We've kind of termed it Friendship Sunday with a play on word. You can be seated. With a play on words of the word Sunday, spelling it like an ice cream sundae. So for those of you that aren't in a hurry, immediately following service, once we get through with the baptism, We will have free ice cream sundaes for anybody that wants to stay and have a time of fellowship in the sanctuary. Also, if my wife's lesson doesn't go very long, she wants to bring the kids up. What we did is part of the block party, we went and bought school supplies and stuffed 4 book bags full of school supplies. And we are going to pull, they're going to pull names, I think, in the basement. We're going to give away a book bag to 2 young girls and a book bag to 2 young boys so that their family doesn't have to worry about school supplies with school getting ready to start. So we should be doing that at the end of service. So I want to be cognizant of time with that. I want to speak a very, it's scripturally not a real deep, we're not going to get into revelations. There's not going to be a lot of spiritual revelation in this, but I do believe it's going to speak to your spirit. So I want to move quickly. I'm going to start reading at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Actually, the Bible that I read in the morning when I do my Bible reading, I have a bookmarker that I had made with this scripture on it. I partially like it because 17 is my favorite number, for anybody that's wondering that. My favorite number in the world is 17 because that was my high school football number. And I tell my wife if I was 6'4", she'd have never met me because I'd be in the NFL. So God knew what he was doing when he made me almost 6 foot. He made me almost 6 foot. God knew what he was doing. But this scripture is very, very familiar, but I love it, and I'm going to read it for you now. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I want to talk to you for just a few moments this afternoon on a very simple title, My Friend. My Friend. Matthew, would you ask the Lord's blessing on this message?
Gracious Father, Lord, we're thankful for the message, Lord, that we're about to hear, Lord. God, I ask that as Pastor Klein brings it forth, Lord, that you speak through him and into the lives of your people this afternoon. God, may every distraction, Lord, everything that the day or the week brought us through up to this point, just be out of our minds, out of our vision, Lord, so we can truly focus and receive what your word is here today. God, I ask, Lord, that you just lay your hand over Pastor Klein, Lord, as he speaks. God, we ask that you speak here today. God, that he disappears so far into your presence, Lord, that we can only hear and see you, Lord Jesus. God, we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated this afternoon. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. How many in here this afternoon have a friend? We're going to talk about some statistics. And in a crowd this big, I'm going to kind of narrow it down to a number game. But a friend loveth at all times. How many of you would agree that it's important to be friendly? You should. I'm going to tell you one little illustration that I want to get off my chest as your pastor so that you're aware before it hits the newspapers. That got everybody's attention. Yesterday, my wife and I were here at the church, and we were doing some things last evening, and we were finishing up. And for those of you that don't know, my wife, I never, ever, if I can stand it, ever let my wife drive when I'm in the car. I'm a control freak. I can't stand to ever. She tells me sometimes, I mean, we've driven on vacation where I've worked midnight the night before, come home, get straight in the car, drive 20 straight hours, and I'd rather do that than let her drive. And she's like, if you let me drive, you could get some sleep. And I said, I get more sleep while I'm driving than if I let you drive. But I said all that for a reason. Last night we left the church here, and we were heading down 20. Right down through Ashtabula to go home. And we got to a point, and I had the windows down because the weather's been perfect. And all of a sudden, I heard this noise. I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was police lights. And I was like, oh, they're going to pull somebody over. So I got over to the side of the road, and I realized that he was pulling me over. So I pulled off right into, I think it's a drugstore, right at the corner, like that intersection where Lake Avenue is. And I pulled in and he pulled up behind me, and I knew why I got pulled over. I knew exactly. I'm not a speeder. My wife makes fun of me. She said, I drive like an old grandpa. I said, well, I am an old grandpa. But he pulled me over, and I knew right away. So he comes up to the side of the car. It was Nash Tribula cop. And he said, sir, do you know why I pulled you over? And I said, yes, I do. Now, let me tell you, as soon as the lights went on, I looked over at my wife, and she hurried up and saw, and she grabbed her seatbelt and put it on. I didn't put mine on. I don't wear mine. I know Sister Carter yells at me all the time. Sister Carol yells at me all the time. Everybody else is going to yell at me after you hear the rest of this story. So he pulls me over, and I'm sitting there, and he walks up, younger guy, and he says, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, yes, I do. And he said, why did I pull you over? I said, because I was on my phone. And he said, you're right. He said, I pulled out behind you on West Avenue. I've followed you all the way here, and you haven't looked up from your phone one time. And I said, you're right. And he said, do you mind if I ask you what's so important that you're looking at your phone? And I said, do you want me to be honest? He said, yes. I said, okay. I said, I pastor a church right down the road, and we're having ice cream sundaes after church tomorrow, and I just posted it on Facebook, and I'm checking to see how many of my members shared it. When I said that, he looked at me, and he's like, well, can I see your license? I said, yes, you can. So I handed him my license. He went back to the car, and my wife just... Any of you wives or any of you husbands that are married, you know the look that your wife can give you when she's starting to question that she married you. Well, I got that look. She just looked at me, and I said, well, what'd you want me to do? Like, I'm not going to lie. That's what I was doing. So he comes back to the car, and he's like, you're free to go, Mr. Klein. Just be careful. And I thought, you know what? This is an opportunity. I grabbed a church card. And I said, because I know he probably thought that that was a far-fetched story. And when he ran my license and realized that it was clean, that it was okay, I said, I am the pastor of this church. That's my card. I said, I'd love to have you come have ice cream with us tomorrow afternoon. And he said, thank you so much. He looked on the back. He's like, oh, I know right where that is, heading down into Saybrook. I said, yep. He said, okay, just be careful. Put your phone away. So there's a benefit to acting friendly. I could have very easily got defensive. I could have threw my seatbelt on. I could have told him that he didn't see what he saw. We're going to go to court, all this stuff. He picked me out because of the color of my car. You can do all that, or you can just be friendly. And sometimes there's benefits to that. Now, I already know, and I'm prepared for it, for everyone that's going to talk to me after church and tell me how I'm not supposed to play on my phone. And I'm going to try, but I'm going to probably still text and on drive. So I told my wife this morning, I said, your mind and eyes don't think alike. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, we're trying to grow the children's ministry department. I think what would be great is to have that officer come set up. Remember Traffic Town when we were little, how they taught us the laws? He could set it up in our parking lot, and he could use me as the bad guy that doesn't obey the laws. And the kids could dunk me in a dunk tank, and they could learn about not texting on their phone, and maybe we could get some kids to come to church. Officer, if you're watching, thank you. You're my friend. Thank you. But the Bible is specific. It's very thorough. It talks about it in multiple places, the importance of friendship. It is extremely important, and I'm going to prove to you by Scripture. We're going to move quickly. I'm just going to give you some Scriptures that promote friendship. Most of you will probably know these, but let's just put them together in unity. John 15 and 13 says this. For those of you that have Bibles, you can turn. If not, they'll be on the screen. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, we talk about that scripture in a spiritual sense, that the Lord laid down his life for us, but each of these scriptures that I'm reading have what I call a twofold meaning. There is a spiritual meaning, but there's also a natural meaning. It's important to have a friend that you know has love for you so much that they'll lay down their life for you. Proverbs 27 and 17. We know the book of Proverbs written by the wisest man that ever lived. These are wise saying. It says this. How many of you ever heard this? Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You need, and this could be man or woman, you need people in your life that are able to speak to you in a way that it sharpens you. We live in a society nowadays where people are too easily offended. We say things like this, and this isn't proper English, but I used to say this to people all the time when they would try to talk to me because I thought I was something. And they would say something. I'd say, who is you? Who is you? Who is you to tell me? That's a spirit of not wanting a friend. A friend loveth at all times, and sometimes that love means that they need to speak to you in a way that sharpens you. Sometimes we lose focus, and we need a new set of eyes to look into our life, and that's what a friend is for. Iron sharpeneth iron, and so does a friend that can speak something into your life. If you have a friend that is willing sometimes to tell you about yourself, you ought to hug them this afternoon and thank them for being your friend. Proverbs 27 and 9, the very same chapter, it says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. There's something, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. There's something about your friend being able to speak to you because they know you. We ought to be thankful for friends. And one more, there's many I could write, but in the book of Job, it says this, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. Have any of you ever read the book of Job? Job was one of the wealthiest men that ever lived. He was a wise man. The Bible said he was a perfect man. He said he eschewed the very even appearance of evil. He was struck with sore boils from the top of his crown to the sole of his feet. He lost his entire living. He lost his children. He lost his livestock. He lost what in Bible times is worth millions and millions of dollars. And he had three, what the Bible calls his comforters, that came and literally for 7 days, the Bible says they sat there and didn't say a word and just stared at him. And then for about the next 28 chapters, they scripturally try to tell him how it was his fault. That's not a friend. That's not a comforter. Now, I know as gentlemen, we like to say this, but the scripture says, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed by his friend. Now, I know I'm a man. I don't want anybody's pity. Well, I do. I'm thankful that when I was in affliction, that the Lord showed pity upon me. Without it, I wouldn't be here. If you're someone right now that's saying, I don't want anybody's pity, well, then you need to get your heart right with God. Pity should be showed to a person that's in affliction by their friend. Now, I said all those just to lay a groundwork, and I'm being very cognizant of time. Many of you know that I'm a statistics person. I love to study statistics and data. According to the American Enterprise Institute, which is a research lab, approximately 17%, I like that number again, of Americans report having zero friends. 17% of Americans. And this number is up 5% in the last 4 years. And if you look at statistics that are driven, if you looked at it on a pie chart or on a growth chart, this number is going up and up and up. I believe, and this has nothing to do with the lesson, I believe technology is driving some of this. It is separating us from human connection. And you have to be aware of it, and you have to be cognizant of it and fight back against it. You can spend days, weeks, months, sometimes without having any interaction with another human being. 17% of Americans report having zero friends. In a crowd today, which with the kids up here, I'd say we probably are close to 70, probably in attendance. I'm just estimating. But that tells me that at least 10 people under the sound of my voice right now, according to data, have no friends. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out. But I do want to talk to you for about the next 15 minutes. It is not God's will for you to go through life alone. His word specifically says the opposite. It says no man is an island. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. It is not God's will. Now, I've preached to you about loneliness before. I understand that the adversary of our souls uses that as a weapon of mass destruction nowadays. He keeps you unconnected to anyone else, and the only voice that's there is his constantly in your ear. How bad things are. We talk about the world and this generation and all of these things. And a lot of it's because we don't have that friend to sharpen us. We don't have that friend. I had friends that during COVID battled with COVID. And not just physically, I'm talking emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And they needed someone like me to step in and tell them, get up and shave and take a shower and get out of this house because you're losing your mind. Sometimes in families, you have to be the voice of reason. You have to say, what you're doing is not good for you. Sitting around and dwelling on thoughts all the time. So get up, put on some clothes. We're going out to eat. Well, I'm not going. I'm afraid of this. Well, you're going to get in the car by choice, or I'm going to pick you up by your neck and put you in the car because you're going because you need to go. Sometimes in life, we don't realize how long it's been. My mother is in the ground, but she lived over a decade after my father passed away. And for several years, my mom became a different person trying to navigate life without my dad. She got married when she was 15 years old. The only person she ever knew was my dad. My mom did not work. My dad worked. My mom never had to handle finances. My dad did all that. And at 63, and my dad was 9 years older than my mother. He died at 63. My mom was 54 and had no idea how life worked. And for days and weeks and months, the only thing my mom would do religiously is go to the cemetery. Every single day. I got a phone call once from the Mineral Ridge Police Department. My brother and I. They said, there's nothing. Don't be nervous. Don't worry. We just want to let you know we just found your mom in the cemetery. I said, okay. It was late at night. It was pouring down rain. She would go up. Here's what my mom, my dad loved the Cleveland Indians. And he loved to listen to them on the radio. The police found her at the cemetery. with the car pulled up next to the tombstone, with the window rolled down, playing the Indians game so my dad could listen to the Indians. And that cop was probably just like the cop that just pulled me over. He walked up and he said, ma'am, she's like, I'm just letting my husband listen to the Indians game. Thankfully, the cop knew us. He came back. He's like, okay, yeah, that's good. And he called us and said, your mom's. So at some point, it wasn't us brothers because we didn't have that relationship. But my sister had to step in and be a friend to my mom and say, mom, we're going to get something to eat for lunch. I don't want to leave the house. Well, you're leaving. 17% of the people in this room right now have no friend. We come into this building. We raise our hands in worship. We clap. We walk across the aisle. We put a smile on our face. And we're going to leave this building in a few moments and go right back to the same isolation we walked out of just a few hours ago to come. It's not the will of God. And I'm going to prove it to you by Scripture. This is what we're going to close on. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to take this scripture in two portions. We're going to start and we're going to read up to the colon. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Take that scripture back down. For a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. Let me say this. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to not understand your situation. I'm not trying to be inconsiderate. But I'm going to say this because this is as much gospel truth almost as Acts 2:38. Friendship is a two-way street. I should get more. That's right. Friendship is a two-way street. According to Scripture, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Now, you are looking at probably the most unfriendly looking person that you've ever met. I was going to say, if I got more amens on that than anything else, I was going to really show you how unfriendly I am. I just look unfriendly. I just give off unfriendly. I walk down Dollar General and people are like, ugh. When I'm with my wife, they're literally like, is that your charity case? Like, did you like, we were going to the Canfield Fair one year, and I was excited. I love the Canfield Fair. My wife and I were just talking about it this morning. And we're pulling into the fair, paying the $3 to park, and I'm handing it to the parking attendant. And I'm on cloud nine. I'm so happy to be at the fair. I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat. And the man looks at me, getting my money back, and he goes, smile, dude, you're at the fair. I give off that I'm not friendly. I give off that I'm unapproachable. My wife says, you have resting mean face. She said, she'll tell me something. My son, who's probably watching, and he probably already did it, every once in a while, he'll send me screenshots of the services that we live stream, and he'll zoom in on my face, and he'll be like, how come you guys are singing about praise the Lord, and you look like you want to kill everybody in the church? So I said all that to make you laugh and take the onus off yourself. But to be honest, I know that. And I have to make a conscious choice. Because the scripture says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. It is not everyone else's job to approach you. Now, go ahead and tell me how I don't understand psychology, and I don't understand introversion, and I don't understand the mental aspect you're going through. Here's what I understand. I understand Scripture, and the Bible says a man to have friends must show himself friendly. So you can't go to God and say, God, can you help me have friends? And he says, yes, obey the Scripture, because the Bible says you are God's friend if you do whatsoever he commandeth you. And his word commands you that if you need a friend, show yourself friendly. So every once in a while, you have to do what everyone has to do. Get out of your comfort zone, put a smile, even though as hard as it is, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm going to break my concrete face. Put a smile on your face and approach somebody and say, hi, I'm Mike. Everybody that says that, they're like, smiling takes less muscles than frowning. I didn't get those muscles. If I want to completely relax, this is what I look like. I understand that. But the scripture says for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. Now, I said all that to make a point because that scripture has twofold meaning. And I believe it. Part of your victory in life is going to be you connecting with other people. Part of the easing of the things that you are going through is going to be by you choosing to step out of solitude and step out of anxiety and step out of depression. But all of that only goes so far until you read the last portion of that scripture. Could you put that back up, Brother Carl? And there is a friend. He sticks closer than a brother. It's him I want to introduce you to today. His name is Jesus. He's not intimidated by your life. He's not embarrassed by who you are. You don't have to be shy around him. You don't have to be afraid and hold back the truth about you because he already knows everything about you. You know how sometimes you have a friend and you're like, man, I hope they don't find that out about me. Anybody have any skeletons in your closet? Anybody make sure the closet locks real tight so nobody gets in there? Anybody, we don't talk about that. We don't go there. Anybody have some family issues that you don't ever bring up because you don't want anybody to know the real you? Anybody ever put on a show and you're worried that the people at your job or the people at the gym that you work out, if they ever found out the real, if they ever really knew what went on in your mind, they would never want to be friends with you. So we do that best friend thing. We do that overly excited thing. We do that thing where we act like we love everybody, but we don't want anybody to get too close. You ever been in the life of a party and felt alone in a room of 1,000 people? I'm pretty safe in saying that there's over 8 people in this building right now that when I said that there's somebody that doesn't have any friend, immediately your ticker went off. And then I started trying to help you get friends, and you're like, hey, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that whole smile and wave thing. We tried that at the church, and I had someone in the Bible study tell me, I'm not doing that. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I know this is hard for some people to hear. He loves you right now. He knows what you did this morning before you came to church, the stuff you would never tell me because you'd be afraid it would become part of the message. He knows the things you watched last night. He knows the things you ate and drank this week. He knows the words that you said in anger to your loved one that you acted like you didn't mean, but deep down it was down in your spirit. He knows the things you're doing on your job. He knows the things that you're not doing. And having known all of those things, where you sit at 2:14, he loves you. He wants to be your friend so bad. We were a wild olive branch. We were unsavable. We're Gentiles. We're not the chosen people of promise. We're the wild seed. And because he loved us so much, because he wanted friendship so much, the Bible says that vine grafted out the natural branch and grafted us in that we could be taken care of by him. He has everything that you'll ever need. But friendship is a two-way street. What we want is we want God to come down in such a miraculous way and have the Spirit fill the whole house so that the cloud of glory, the glory cloud descends and the Shekinah glory of God overtakes the service and the ministers can't even minister and God's going to take care of that. That's not how it works. Here's how it works. Jesus Christ has descended into this building. And spiritually, he's standing right next to me right now. He doesn't look like me. He's got holes in his hands. He's got holes in his feet. And if you could see his rib cage, it's got a scar where they pierced him. And he's standing before you right now, stretched forth. Saying, come unto me. I'll be your friend. You don't have to be lonely tonight. You don't have to cry yourself to sleep tonight. You can have a friend that sticketh closer than your brother. The Bible says your brother was born for adversity. Jesus Christ knows exactly what you're going through, and he's willing to step right into your situation. He's not taken back by it. He doesn't think that you're strange or weird or unapproachable. He loves you right now, but friendship is a two-way street. The scripture says one time he looked at his hands. And I'm going to ask you that question for him this morning. What more could he have done? Your life does not need to be the same. Your reality on this earth can change in the next 2 minutes. But God and myself are not coming back and leading you here. The Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart right now. It's speaking to your spirit right now and saying, he's telling the truth. So I'm going to open this altar. I know you're going to be embarrassed because if you're the first one up here, they know I'm one of the eight that doesn't have a friend. Who cares what anyone knows? You're the only one that lives in the reality when you go home of loneliness. Break the cycle this afternoon and say, you know what? Jesus, I need you, because when you take that first step, he's going to run just like the Father and grab you, and you're going to have a friend that sticks closer than any family member you've ever had. Or you can choose to stay where you are. As they begin to sing, as the church stands, I wonder if there's anybody that wants to make Jesus your friend. He loves you. He cares for you. He understands you. You are not weird. You are not strange. You are not an outcast. What you're going through is not offensive to him. He's not willing that you perish. He wants to be your friend. So as they play and sing, this altar's open. You don't have to wait. You can come right now. Don't worry about who's up here or who's not up here. If God has spoken to you, he's asking you right now, a two-way street. He's standing right here, waiting for you to come. He's my friend.
He knows my name. He knows my name. Yes, he knows my name. He knows my name. Oh, how he walks with me. me. And oh, how he tells me that I am his own. You know, and you know my name. You know my mountain can stop me, 'cause you hold my hand.
giant to meet me, 'cause you hold my hand, you hold my hand, you hold my hand, you hold my hand, you hold my hand. Yes, you know my name. Yes, you know my name. You know my name. And oh, how you walk with me. And oh, how you talk with me. Know how you tell me that I am your own. Oh, you know, 'cause you know my name. You know my name. You know my name. It's you.
Thank you for your attention this afternoon. After such a powerful spiritual move, it's kind of not proper to end it this way, but I'm going to do it anyway. How many of you have ever seen the movie Toy Story? How many of you got sick of it because your grandkids wanted to watch it all the time? So you're going to know this feeling. I'm standing before you as someone that's not outgoingly friendly. I'm standing before you as a pastor that is not in my nature to just be charismatic. But I'm offering something to you today. I don't know what value it is to you, but it's from Toy Story. There's a song in Toy Story, if you've ever watched it, I know you're going to know what it is. I'm not going to sing it to you because it wouldn't fit the purpose of why I'm telling you. But there's a point when some of the toys are low and this song comes on. It says, you've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. So I'm telling you right now, if you want it, you've got a friend in me. I know I look like Mr. Potato Head from Toy Story, so... We'll take it for what it's worth. I was so proud of myself when I finally got glasses a few years ago. I put a picture. I took a selfie, one of the few selfies I've ever took, and put it on Facebook. And within 2 minutes, you know those brothers that are born for adversity? My earthly brother who pastors a church sent me a picture of Mr. Potato Head. So if you're okay with being friends with Mr. Potato Head and you need a friend, I'd sure like to be it. And if you don't have any other friends, you just found a home. This church is full of people that just want to help you get to heaven, and you maybe help them. This can be your home. And we can all be friends together in this life and hopefully make it to the next one. I'm going to go down and change for the baptism, but before we do, you can be seated. My wife wants to do our giveaway for our backpack. She's going to pull the names while I go get my waders on.